Minister, your next appointment is ready.
Oh, lovely.
The Ministry of Sewers is a civic space that invites the public into it.
Could you come take a seat?
This is an opportunity for you to share your story about how water pollution and the problems linked to it may have affected you, your local area, or the environment. You might be here because you're concerned about your right to swim, your right to clean water, or you have...
The Ministry of Sewers, one of the questions that people ask, but is this real? And I really love that question because it's like, yes, 100%, it's happening. It has ministers. We are collecting evidence.
You had a problem with sickness, is that right?
It was about 4 years ago.
Yeah.
I was swimming in Folkestone, and after 2 days, I had a vomiting, diarrhea. I got like an infection.
What does it mean that they are asking that whether this is real? Is it because they don't expect a government to listen to people? Is it because this looks like a joke? What makes it into a performance or not performance? And in a way, is perhaps that very delicate boundary between reality and fiction. What is important is that it is a space that you can go in, that you can bring evidence, that you can share your sewage story, and that someone will be listening to you and taking notes for the future.
This is The Process, and I'm Laurent John, program producer at Somerset House Studios. In this episode, Somerset House Studios artists' cooking sections ask, what happens when we blur the lines between fact and fiction, when performance meets the everyday? Raw sewage spills, unsafe swimming spots, strange smells from coastlines. Rooted in the stories of real people, their 2025 Folkestone Triennial work, The Ministry of Sewers, questions how art can solve problems in the world today. Cooking Sections is a London-based practice working at the intersection of art, architecture, ecology, and geopolitics. Founded in London in 2013 by Daniel Fernandez Pascual and Alan Schwab, their work explores how global food systems shape our environments, bodies, and economies, revealing the hidden legacies of extractivism and ecological collapse. Their long-term project, Climavore, running since 2015, explores how to eat as humans change the climate.
We met at Goldsmiths at the Centre for Research Architecture, where we were studying back in 2012, and we began working together.
We got very interested in thinking about food as a tool to understand changing landscapes and environments and how to develop a metabolic thinking in order to address some of the current and historical underpinnings for environmental, ecological and political issues today. In our practice, we develop mostly site-responsive works. Many times these are installations. We many times also use performance, we sometimes use video, but in many ways I think there's more of a working methodology than like a particular outcome.
Sometimes we like a lot these grey zones of legality, how to use some of these cultural frameworks to do something that can support different groups. Sometimes there's a bit of sense of humour.
Part of the work, you know, or the afterlife of these projects is also trying to find where their legacy lays.
Some of our previous work includes Climavore, a long-term project that questions how we should eat as human-induced climate change affects the seasons, and the Maaleipa Challenge, a competition which invited anyone in Finland to develop new bread recipes designed to nourish not just the people who eat the bread, but also the soil and water that the ingredients are derived from.
In 2025, we were commissioned by the Folkestone Triennial to create a new work for this year's edition. Our project, The Ministry of Sewers, is an installation taking on the issue of coastal water pollution in the UK.
The installation is the UK's first Ministry of Sewers, which is a space that listens to residents, collects testimonies and mobilises action against sewage releases, stream contamination and agrochemical runoff. In 1976, Dennis Howell was appointed the Minister for Drought in this country. It was one of the worst droughts in the history of England. A few months later, it started to rain a lot. Floods came, so he was reappointed as a Minister for Floods. And that winter was also terrible, so he was reappointed the Minister for Snow. So those almost nonsensical appointments led us to also think of figuring out another type of civic platform that could function like a different kind of ministry, in this case, the Ministry of Sewers.
If people come into work like this and ask, is this real from the get-go? The work has already accomplished something which is provoking, which is suspending the truth in a way. I think that is where you open a window of opportunity for looking at things differently and for asking new questions.
This is Paola Serafini. She's a senior lecturer in creative and cultural industries at Queen Mary University of London.
My research is mostly concerned with what I call cultural politics, and that includes the political aspects of culture, cultural production, cultural work and participation, but also how we can understand politics and activism as cultural phenomena.
We wanted to speak to Paola for this episode because she has spent years examining the intersection of art and activism.
Designing this project, we knew that performance could be a powerful tool for addressing this issue of water pollution on the UK coastline. And that's something Paola Serafini has also spoken and written about extensively.
There are many reasons why performance art can be a useful way of addressing a political issue or a social issue. One of them is that performance can allow us to create situations that produce the kind of world we want to live in. So performance can be prefigurative. It can open up a space of political imagination where we create the world where we want to live. Performance also has the possibility of participation, including people in the way that we think about a future alternative world. And artistic participation can lead to political participation. So art is a way of bringing people into a political conflict.
This is absolutely what we wanted to do with the Ministry of Sewers in Folkestone.
At the moment, there is a total crisis of water mismanagement and agricultural runoff and basically dumping of raw sewage into the sea. And it happens all over the coast. We decided to open the Ministry of Sewers to be the first platform in the UK to actually listen to people's concerns and try to bring together different groups, particularly in Folkestone, Hythe and Romney Marsh, that have been fighting all these issues for a very long time.
It's still good.
Hiya. Hello. Welcome to the Ministry.
When you come in, you find the ministers, you can book an appointment with one of them, have a half hour kind of session where you can share your experiences, which are being logged into the log of grievances and are made basically into a record that hopefully will become a catalyst for further action, whether it would be community action, whether it would be legislative action or legal action in the form of a public or private nuisance case further down the line. And lastly, there's also a petition which calls to institute a year-long testing regime that will ensure that every day throughout the year, the water quality is being tested.
I'm Patricia Rolfe. I'm Minister of Sewers for today. We're in the Customs House, or what's left of the Customs House, on the beautiful harbour in Folkestone. a very tall-ceilinged Victorian building adjacent to the sea that we can see, and we can obviously hear the gulls and birds sort of flying around. So it feels as a Ministry of Sewers, very appropriate, very closely linked to water. Visitors approach through very high double doors into a space that hopefully draws them forward. There are central chairs along the centre of the hallway for people just to sit and look at the displays of information here. But it's also a place where somebody who may have an appointment with the minister to share their story will wait, and they'll be greeted and taken to the office area. So either side... Have you come from far?
Not far, no. I work in Folkestone, so that's quite handy.
Handy.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Right, what has the impact been on you? Have sewage deposits affected you or your family's health in any way? Affected your enjoyment of the beaches?
Yeah, I mean, sort of changing my behaviour, really, I suppose. I mean, obviously, living and working by the sea, you know, the beach or the sea is a massive part of the sort of the environment and the enjoyment of the local area. And it sort of feels a bit like, you know, you can look but don't touch. So now I, you know, I walk along it or cycle along it, but can't really get to enjoy it beyond that. So yeah, it's really stopped me going in, and now I'm paying for a gym to use their pool when actually I could have just been swimming in the sea for free.
In the process of making the work, that was one question, whether we cast performers as ministers or rather people that live there, and we went for the latter option because for us it was very important that that knowledge also gets embedded somehow. That it's not just, you know, like a one-way exchange.
We are working with a group of seven wonderful ministers, which are all residents of the area, who in many ways have a very deep and kind of long connection with the coast, whether they are swimmers, whether they're environmentalists, or whether they are activists or local politicians that have been advocating to ensure that people have healthy, free coastline, and have been trying to monitor and push back against the sewage spills and agricultural runoff that is happening almost on a weekly basis.
For Paola Serafini, working with local people can be a way of grounding and situating a performance.
And giving local people agency over what that performance is doing, what it's, you know, there for, and bringing people along. It is a way of saying, this work is not just ours, it is something that we are co-producing, and you are getting something out of it, you're participating in it, you're making it with us. And that can be very powerful for participants. If you work with local people, then that performance would be unique to that place because it is constituted by experiences and the knowledge of those people that participate. You can try to recreate it somewhere else, but it won't be the same because the knowledge and experiences that those other participants bring to the table are going to be completely different.
Alongside Patricia, who we heard from already, Michelle Schoenfield is one of the other ministers tasked with collecting evidence from members of the public.
When you went back to the doctor after 2 weeks, so you went to your GP, and did your doctor do any tests or anything like that?
I got tested after 2 weeks. I could send a sample. I think it was Shigella. Shigella, which is...
And that's a gut bacterium.
That's a gut bacterium, so that was...
Was
a sign it might be pollution or something like that. After sea swimming. My colleagues who lived in Folkestone for longer, after a couple of days, they were sending me messages, how are you doing, what are you doing?
Yeah.
When I said, I've got a gut infection, and they started telling me, but it might be sewage in the sea. What do you think about it? Have you ever thought about it? So, no, I've never put the two together, because by that time I'd been swimming for 2, 3, even 5 years without any issues ever.
Did you?
It's very beautiful to see the seven wonderful ministers, how they engage, because on the one hand, they really want to know what's happening in the place where they live. But also, at the same time, they do have a lot of knowledge of like, oh, have you thought about contacting this person, that person? So they are a whole, almost like an encyclopedia of resources in themselves. So we really wanted that multidirectional exchange that is not just listening, recording, writing, taking notes, but also something that can expand their knowledge networks.
I think there are a few things that this project can bring to the campaign. You know, we're bringing up the issue of a ministry, so it can ask new questions about accountability, about authority, about governance, about who is responsible, about who should be responsible. It works as a piece that documents valuable information about a phenomenon. So it's not just bringing attention to it, but it's actually working to gather evidence that then can be used to address the issue directly through lawyers, with the perpetrators, with different actors that are involved in the conflict.
Here's our minister, Michelle, once again.
Do you have any, do you have a sick note or an email that you could send to us? Would you be prepared to share it with us?
Definitely.
Yeah, fantastic. If I give you this card,
and
if you send us an email with the note on it or anything or any conversations you had with your GP, that would be fantastic. Thank you.
So I'm a writer. I trained as a journalist and I've worked as a journalist for many years as well. So I suppose I'm a local activist on different levels, and I'm a sea swimmer and I've been on local protests about the seawater quality before. So that's how I came involved. They basically chose about 7 or 8 of us to work as ministers. And then the next stage was we had several different training sessions, basically. One of them was where we spoke to a solicitor, and the barrister was on a Zoom call. And they explained all about the kind of level of evidence that they would need if there was to bring any kind of any types of prosecution against the water companies. That was really kind of drummed into us by the artist, who very, very particular. They know exactly what they want. They know exactly the questions that we need to ask and the kind of evidence that's needed. You know, we have to really knuckle down to try and get people, because people are very vague, you know.
We worked with a group of lawyers that helped kind of put together the questionnaire, basing it on other legal cases, basically, that citizens or companies have taken water companies to court, so like, you know, like an understanding what type of stories, what type of evidence might have standing.
The Ministry of Sewers will be open till October 2025, and our hope is that even if it closes its doors at the end of the Folkestone Triennial, its impact can continue and have a life of its own. This is also how the ministers engaged and connected to ongoing groups and individuals who visited the town, coming from Kent or other parts of the country, who have also been affected by similar issues around raw sewage dumping on the coast. So we truly hope that the spirit of the ministry continues and these networks and connections have already ripple effects.
I think art throughout the ages has always been a centre point, a catalyst for change over history, and that's the way it's always been. So this has been really rewarding, to be a part of something that could actually have such a strong impact.
People come to these works with different intentions, and that should be acknowledged, because it is interesting to see, you know, what an artist wants to do with it and whether they succeed in what they set out to do or not, or whether they achieved something else that was unexpected.
In these conversations that came over and over again, you know, like that there is a real responsibility, and even though this is an artwork, how we open the space and how we open the conversation has to be taken with all honesty, sincerity, and truly, truly listening to people. If we choose to give that space for people to share their stories, to share their grievances, to share, you know, like their incidents, their health issues, their losses to business, their loss to property, you have to be responsible to be there and to be able to receive it and listen to it and log it and make sure that this information is put together in a way that it could be taken further, you know, that an action could be done with it. If it ends up as another bureaucratic space where all of these complaints go nowhere and people feel disenfranchised, we did nothing.
I think it brings up an interesting question that has been a long-standing debate in the study of the arts and of art history, which is, should art be useful or not? Some scholars, like Claire Bishop, have marked a clear distinction between art that provokes, art that is transgressive, that breaks the norms, and art that tries to be useful and ethical. And she kind of argues that the second is not as powerful as the first, and that art should be more about breaking rules and being transgressive and provoking rather than trying to fix society. But in my experience, having worked with artists in different parts of the world, I find that there is a lot of work that is both very transgressive and very provocative, and at the same time tries to do something useful. And I don't think that takes away value from it as an artistic piece. It makes sense for artists who want to be activists as well. And that doesn't mean they have to compromise on their aesthetics. It doesn't mean that they have to abandon their position as artists or abandon their conversations with other artists and with the canon of artistic practice. It just means understanding aesthetics in a new way, in a way that has a different relationship to ethics, perhaps.
Over the years, I think we have constantly found ways kind of to use the space of culture and the space of cultural production or art production, if we want to use that term, to address and kind of push the boundaries and expand like different possibilities using legal frameworks, using kind of gray zones, etc., to establish alternative ways of thinking or kind of new imaginaries. And I think that is kind of the space we want to occupy.
One of the questions we're often asked is whether we see ourselves as artists or activists.
I often try to stay away from hard boxes around whether something is artistic or activist or political. I think the boundaries are often blurry, and that's what can make a piece powerful.
So we have several questions that we need to ask you. So they go from your reason for visiting the ministry today and the impact on you.
Sometimes artists have a very specific intended outcome that they want with a work, such as affecting a particular policy or changing a law. And in that sense, we can say that it is activist art because it is very directed. Whereas in other occasions, artists just want to bring attention to a topic, visibilize a social dynamic that is messed up, or just express their personal feelings about a topic. This kind of distinction can be useful if we're analyzing process, but I also think that often artists and activists try to defy definition and putting themselves into boxes. Even like sometimes artists don't set out to be activists necessarily, but the conditions of the art world push them to make statements and to take positions on matters, and they become activists regardless of what they set out to do with their work in the first place.
I must say, I do love the question because in a way it keeps us thinking that we are not in a single place, that we're navigating in all these gray zones. So the more the question is asked, I think the more it shows that, okay, we're in the right murky place.
What we do enjoy is finding these moments that just feel like really absurd, like in the case of this minister of drought that becomes the minister of floods, that becomes the minister of snow. And you're like, yeah, the government has done that like 50 years ago. Why wouldn't we just do that again?
But different.
So, but thank you very much. And can I get you to just sign? And, and it will be shared with third party.
Thank you very much, Willie, if I can help in any way.
Oh, that's brilliant.
You
know,
if you would, and I'll send you things.
Yeah, if you could send me that, you know, if work for a month and any GP.
Yeah.
Thanks to Daniel and Alon from Cooking Sections, Paola, Serafini, Patricia Rolfe, Michelle Schoenfield, and Liv Pennington. This episode of The Process was produced by Ali Adlington. The podcast is presented by me, Laurent John, for Somerset House. The exec producer is Eleanor Ritter Scott. The theme music is by Carbeard, and the series is mixed by Mike Woolley. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.